Radio Prague News.
Czech President Václav Klaus has met with U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney in Washington. A DNA sample has linked a suspect to the murder of TV Nova technician Michal Velišek. And the government has appointed a new police president. President Václav Klaus, on a visit to the U.S., has met with U.S. Vice President Dick Cheney at the White House. After talks on Thursday, Mr. Klaus told reporters the United States had attentively followed the situation in Europe concerning recent German elections. Mr. Klaus also said he and the U.S. Vice President discussed Czech aid to the victims of Hurricane Katrina, as well as such issues as the Middle East, Afghanistan, and Iraq. Earlier on Wednesday, Mr. Klaus met with U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Czech police have said that an analysis of DNA has confirmed involvement by suspect David Lubina in the murder of a TV technician. Last week, TV Nova editor Michal Velišek was shot and killed in Prague after intervening on a woman's behalf. The woman was being threatened by Mr. Lubina near Prague's Charles Square. Lubina, who has a history of psychological problems, shot Velišek twice without warning before escaping the scene. Police have been unable to track him down so far. The government appointed Vladislav Husák as the new president of Czech police on Thursday. Mr. Husák has been acting head of the police since mid-August. The two smaller coalition parties, the Christian Democrats and the Freedom Union, expressed reservations over his appointment. Mr. Husák, who turns 40 next week, replaces Jiří Kolář, who resigned in late June. The former police president stepped down after Czech businessman Radovan Krejčíř escaped during a police search of his family villa near Prague. And in related news, Interior Minister František Bublan has addressed the case of fugitive millionaire Radovan Krejčíř, saying on Thursday that it was 99% certain Mr. Krejčíř no longer had Czech citizenship. The news comes after the ministry studied new documents at its disposal, including a copy of a Seychelles Certificate of Citizenship. Mr. Krejčíř, who is wanted for tax fraud and conspiracy to murder in the Czech Republic, escaped to the Seychelles in midsummer. Till now, the Czech Republic had been looking into possibilities for his extradition. We take a look at the weather now. Friday and the weekend should see sunny weather with average temperatures of around 22 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
You're tuned to Radio Prague and I'm David Vaughan. The Czech capital braces itself for a possible terrorist attack. We'll be looking into what is actually being done. We find out about the bond between Simon Wiesenthal, who died on Tuesday, and the Czech Republic. And we travel halfway across the world to Zambia, which also has an unexpected link with this country. That and a trip to the Pelshimov Museum of Records coming up in the programme. A sound that many people have come to dread, the Czech Republic's early warning system. Many people remember the sound from the time of the floods 3 years ago, but today fears are just as strong of a man-made catastrophe. Since the terrorist attacks in New York, Madrid and London, the fear of possible bomb attack is never far from people's minds. Although the Czech intelligence services say they have no indication of any imminent threat to this country, the Czech government wants to make sure that the country's police and rescue services are capable of dealing with a large-scale disaster. Daniela Lazarova has the story.
An anti-terrorist operation, which is scheduled to take place in the early hours of Friday morning, will simulate three separate terrorist attacks: a bomb explosion in the Prague metro, a suicide bomber at the Holešovice railway station, and an explosion on a train in the town of Kralupy nad Vltavou, northwest of Prague. The attacks in Prague take place within minutes of each other, the third blast in Kralupy an hour later, after the emergency forces from central Bohemia have been moved to Prague as reinforcements, leaving the region vulnerable. Major General Miroslav Štěpán, who will be in command of the Prague metro operation, says the idea is to simulate a real-life situation where there are likely to be more attacks in close succession.
Ta akce bude trvat zhruba od 1 hodiny ranní do
The emergency rescue operation should last for approximately 3 hours between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. at a time when the metro is closed, but the scene will resemble a real-life situation in the metro at around 3:30 p.m. It will involve several hundred people, out of those 15 dead, 29 with serious injuries, and close to 150 with light injuries and suffering from shock. We want to make sure that we can handle a large-scale disaster within the set time, that's about 3 hours, because we know from the experience other countries have had that time is extremely important. A wrong decision or delays could cost more lives.
In order to make things as realistic as possible, the three-part operation involving some 1,500 people has not been planned down to the last detail. Fire crews, rescue teams and ambulances will set off from their home base, and those in command will have to make on-the-spot decisions depending on how the situation develops, just as they would in real life. Of course, in real life, there would most likely be many more people on the scene. And General Štěpán says that while they'd be expected to leave the scene of the disaster as quickly as possible, help from the public would be expected and welcome.
A je to obrovské koordinace velkého množství záchranářů na straně jedné.
We need to achieve the best possible coordination between a vast number of rescue workers, crisis centres, rescue teams and hospitals. But we need to keep in mind that no country can be 100% prepared for such a situation, and we're relying on people to help each other in a crisis, as we saw the public pitch in to help in London and Madrid. So yes, in the event of an attack, we are counting on help and cooperation from the public.
Let's hope it never happens. That was Miroslav Štěpán, ending that report by Daniela Lazarova. Legendary Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal will be buried in Israel on Friday, after a lifetime spent bringing Nazi war criminals to justice. Tributes to Mr. Wiesenthal have been pouring in since his death on Tuesday, including many from the Czech Republic, which lost 80,000 Jews to the Holocaust. Rob Cameron spoke earlier to Tomáš Kraus, chairman of the Federation of Czech Jewish Communities, about his legacy.
I think his legacy is enormous because this is a living memento. And even when he passed away, this legacy will go on. It's not only a legacy which is concerning the Jewish community or the problematics of the Jews. It's a very general issue. It's a memento which is, I would say, a very overall memento, valid to the whole society as such. And this memento says that whenever there is a crime against humanity, and we are not speaking only about Nazi crimes, it's the crimes against humanity which may be very contemporary and current. So wherever there is a criminal, he has or she has to be aware of the fact that sooner or later, somebody like Simon Wiesenthal will come and will pursue justice.
Did you have the opportunity to meet Wiesenthal yourself?
Yes, I had several times, but I remember the very first one, which was in Olomouc, some, I would say, 6 or 8 years ago, when he received an honorary title, honorary doctorate at the university. And we spoke, and I was astonished that he spoke Czech. He still had his Czech because he was studying in Prague before the war, architecture, and he learned very well Czech. And he was remembering his years in Prague as one of his best in his life.
Mr. Wiesenthal tracked down more than 1,000 Nazi war criminals. Were any of them hiding in the Czech Republic, as far as we know?
As far as we know, not. But there was a case which was related to the Czech Republic. There was somebody who was hiding in Germany but had very close links to Czechoslovakia and especially to Terezín. I'm referring to the case of Anton Malot. And when we have discovered that this man is hiding himself in Germany, we have, of course, consulted the whole case with Simon Wiesenthal and his center in Vienna. And in the end, this man, Anton Malot, was found guilty and was imprisoned, though he was in his late 80s.
The former president, Václav Havel, said that Simon Wiesenthal taught us never to forget. Do you think that we will forget the Holocaust one day?
This is a very important question. We hope the issue of Holocaust will always remain as a part of the legacy and of the human memory. And we, I'm not referring only to the Jewish Federation or Jewish institutions in this country. It's an issue which is of concern to many institutions. And we are trying our best to incorporate the legacy of the Holocaust, for instance, into the curricula of schools in the Czech society. We have to do our best to keep the memory alive.
Tomáš Kraus there from the Federation of Czech Jewish Communities on the legacy of Simon Wiesenthal. You're tuned to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. It's been 150 years since the famous Scottish missionary David Livingstone discovered a waterfall which the local natives called the Smoke That Thunders, and christened it Victoria Falls, after his queen. But the first ever map of the Great Falls was drawn by a Czech explorer, Dr. Emil Holub, who arrived at Victoria Falls 20 years later. To commemorate the event, a bust of Emil Holub has been unveiled in Livingstone, the Zambian city bearing the name of Holub's predecessor and role model. Pavla Horáková reports.
Emil Holub would probably have become a family doctor somewhere in rural Bohemia had he not come across a German edition of David Livingstone's diaries. From then on, as he mentions in his memoirs, he became obsessed with Africa. He set off for the first time in 1872, and 3 years later he stood in awe before Victoria Falls.
Even the greatest literary masters would certainly have fallen silent facing such majestic and ever-changing scenery. A human being is totally incapable of describing Mother Nature where she performs with such might as at the Victoria Falls. There, man just has to adore her.
That's what Emil Holub wrote about the famous Victoria Falls, which he visited twice, in 1875 and then 10 years later, accompanied by his newlywed wife. A bust of Emil Holub was unveiled this week outside the Livingstone Museum, which incidentally was headed by another Czech, Ladislav Holý, between 1968 and 1972. The event was organized by the Czech Embassy in Zambia, Consul Marie Imbrová.
This year we're celebrating 130 years since the first ever map of Victoria Falls was drawn by Emil Holub. Naturally, we were looking for a way to make that fact widely known, especially in Zambia and Zimbabwe. We agreed with the Livingstone Museum that we would raise the statue outside the premises and they would show an exhibition on Emil Holub's stays there and about what he did for this region.
The bust was made by local artist Last Mawawa, according to period photographs supplied by the Czech side. On his African travels, Emil Holub collected everything, graphical exhibits to animals, from birds to rock paintings.
Of all my curiosities, of which I brought back 40 cases closely packed, I considered my ethnographical specimens, 400 in number, the most valuable. But in addition to those, I had a great collection of insects, horns, plants, reptiles, skins of quadrupeds and birds, minerals, skeletons, spiders, crustaceans, mollusks and fossils.
Holub brought back some 13,000 items from his four expeditions, and he sold them to schools and museums back home. But he also brought back descriptions and drawings of plants, animals, and also notes about the life and culture of the local population.
Mimochodem, Emil Holub je skutečně jediným spolehlivým pramenem pro poznání.
Emil Holub, for example, is the only reliable source in the research of the culture of the Lhotse tribe who lived in this area in the 18th and 19th centuries. For the Lhotses, Emil Holub's notes are the most important ethnographical source of information about their nation.
Identifikace vlastního národa.
From Livingston, the exhibition about Emil Holub's life and work will move to South Africa and Botswana. The Czech Embassy is also preparing an exhibition of postcards featuring Emil Holub's drawings and a new edition of one of his books.
That fascinating story was brought to us by Pavla Horáková, and I don't think there's anywhere where Czechs haven't been. We go over now to Brian Kennedy, who in this week's Panorama takes us to a museum with a difference.
For 15 years running now, the sleepy little town of Pelshimov has been home to a summer festival of controlled record-breaking madness. Here, one minute, you may see a teenage ballerina attempt to stand on her tippy-toes, or bourée, as it's known in the dance world, longer than Balanchine ever dreamt possible. On the other side of the town square, perhaps, is a man preparing to quaff down 100 raw eggs in 10 minutes flat. There to record it all for posterity, and perhaps for entry into the elite club of Czech record holders, or even the Guinness Book of World Records, are the good folks at the Dobrý Den Agency.
The International Festival of Records and Curiosities, known as the Pelshimov Town of Records, is the biggest event of its kind in Europe. You can see not only dozens of record attempts, but also, even if you just start off as a spectator, you might very well finish up as a record man.
Before venturing into the historic city tower gate that now houses the Pelshimov Museum of Records and Curiosities, and a tour from the president of the agency that runs it, I stopped to listen to a preview of what's to come from an automated tour guide posted just outside the imposing Gothic structure.
One of the exhibits of the Museum of Records and Curiosities, a giant stainless steel frying pan with a diameter of 2 meters, established several records already. Cooks from the Dobrý Den agency in Pelshimov made an omelet on it using 1,001 eggs. It was used for frying the longest sausage and a 2-meter potato pancake.
Over the years, Radio Prague has reported on Czech record holders of all kinds.
The Czech Cartographic Company has produced the smallest map of the Czech Republic ever made. You literally have the country at your fingertips with a map that is 3 centimeters times 1.7 centimeters big. Although it is minute, it contains all the information you would find on a full-sized map. If you magnify it 100 times, you will find even the smallest villages, and if you magnify it 1,000 times, you will be able to clearly distinguish the individual streets of the Czech capital. Obviously, it's not a map anyone's going to use, says cartographer.
We've reported on the guy who spent more than 24 hours in the Vltava River and covered a distance of 90 kilometers, seemingly without breaking a sweat, for a new world record in freshwater distance swimming. And the country's fastest postman, who, and you can be sure it's no coincidence, hails from Pelshimov, and in the course of 9 hours and 36 minutes made 200 deliveries to 20 towns and villages in the region.
A sure and firm hand was called for when archer František Hadaš managed to shoot off 23 times in a row a flame of a cake candle placed at a distance of 10 meters in a candlestick from an apple.
It was with no small feeling of anticipation that I entered the museum with Czech record guru Miroslav Marek.
Tak muzeum rekordů a kuriozit Pelshimově vzniklo v červnu roku 94. To znamená, že vlastně jedeme 12. sezónu.
Festival of Records has been going on for 15 years, and the museum itself opened to the public some 12 seasons ago. Its 5 floors are packed with some 300 curious objects or exhibitions. giant-sized versions of everyday objects, like a wooden spoon that doubles as a rowboat, or the coffee cup that holds 9 liters, enough to get 54 people wired in very short order, and the world's largest set of pajamas, and the smallest motorcycle in Central Europe, built by the region's own Aleš Spearman, or perhaps a fully functioning bicycle made entirely of wood. Yes, wood.
Not only a frame, wheels and handlebars, but also a chain and a pump made of wood can be found on a bicycle made by Ludovit Lenart. The bike took more than 4,000 hours to make and can now be seen at the Museum of Records and Curiosities.
There are also documentary photographs everywhere of successful attempts to set new Czech and world records in the oddest of categories. And this being the Czech Republic, there's an entire exhibition devoted to beer.
Češi jsou pivní národ. Oni jsou zapsáni v Guinnessově knize rekordů třeba jako největší konzumenti piva. U nás se podle statistik vypije v průměru 162 litrů.
The Czechs are a beer-drinking nation. We are written in the Guinness Book of World Records as the greatest consumers of beer. People here, according to statistics, on average drink 162 litres of beer each year. That means for each and every person, grandmothers, great-grandmothers and nursing babies. So we are really fans of beer from infancy.
My jsme tím pivem prostě odkojení.
Among the beer-flavored records set in Pelshimov and documented or housed in the museum, the world's largest beer coaster.
And I wonder if you know that a unique men's suit shown here is made up of 25,751 sewn-up buttons.
But really, don't these people have anything better to do with their free time? Like woodcarver Josef Šumera, for example, who fashioned a 16.10-meter-long chain of 480 links from a single piece of wood. Sure, it's the fourth longest in the world, and the longest in the Czech Republic. But was it worth it? What's the motivation?
Samozřejmě je to to první, co člověka napadne, že ty lidi nemají co na práci.
At first it may look that way, that these people haven't got enough work and spend their time with nonsense. But it is a bit different, really. The majority of these exhibits are by people who are masters of a particular craft. They know something truly very well and want in some way to call attention to the fact. Making that wooden chain was very difficult work, because you must think not only of the link you are working on, but on the next one to come. So contenders show their talent by making something absolutely out of the ordinary, maybe even absurd, to show that, for example, Mr. Šumera is truly an excellent woodcarver.
Je to to, co právě upoutá tu pozornost, že pan Šumera je výborný řezbář.
The snake woman, Milena Šiškova, managed to show 9 different acrobatic stands.
Then there's Jindřich Zobil, the master of whip cracking, who can, of course, like any cowboy worth his salt, strip the cigarette straight from his lovely assistant's lips. Zobel fell short of the world record for doing this as many times as humanly possible within 3 minutes by a single stroke, but not for want of trying. But wait, that's not all. Drumroll, please.
The most exciting exhibition of the century presents over 80 works made, incredibly, from more than 500,000 multicolored matches.
Wow, what could possibly top that? The 9-meter-long set of pajamas, which sleeps 280, albeit rather uncomfortably, or perhaps the longest scarf in the world, knit by readers of the Praktická žena, or Practical Woman, magazine. It stretches 158 kilometers from Pelshimov to Prague.
Tady máme největší lízátko.
No, in this reporter's humble opinion, it just may be the biggest lollipop ever made in the Czech Republic. A 12-kilo treat crafted especially for the popular singer Karel Gott, who, says Miroslav Marek, is rumored to have actually licked it.
Gott tak mírně okusoval.
But go to see for yourself. No fewer than 62 world records were broken this summer at the Festival of Records, and entry to the museum is free of charge. Although some restrictions do apply.
It's possible to enter this unique museum, the only one of its kind in Central Europe, without paying a single penny. Giants over 205 centimeters tall, adult dwarfs under 135 centimeters, and fat people with a waistline of over 145 centimeters are allowed to see the museum free of charge.
Poď ukážu ti cestu rájem, poď a přestaň se mi smát. Pámbu zaplatí dnes nájem a nechá nás dole spát.
What an extraordinary place. Brian Kennedy reporting from the Museum of Records. I hope you've enjoyed today's program. Please tune in again tomorrow and keep writing to us at english@radio.cz or by snail mail to Radio Prague 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, from our producer Zuzka Dorčáková and sound engineer Aleš Pezel, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye.
Tam, kde je pouhé slovo hří, pojď nebo projev aspoň zájem. Se topím v rozpacích. Kdo ví, co je líp, zdá hát nebo říct, že mám tě rád denně víc. Ukážu ti cestu rájem, jen jedno k tomu budu chtít. Dej mi dlaň a řekni tvá.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Europe, 5930, 7345. 7h30, 7h57, Europe, 9880, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe, Afrique Centre, 5930, 17485. 18h30, 18h57, Europe, Afrique Ouest, 5930, 13580. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9415, 7345. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.